rides his pony down life's lane, searching for the why of all the pain he knows. It'll never be the same.
Hey, Legs.
Hi, Lizzie. Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Great.
So today, we are talking about what the week's going to hold in store, and the theme of this week is punk. And
bicycle punk. Punk bicycles. The theme forever is punk.
Yes. And then today... So the theme overall
of the week. We're not very smooth this morning, but that's okay. The theme of the week is not punk. But we're not editing.
We're not editing.
No.
And so that's why I'm not saying anything, because we're not editing. So we had spoke yesterday on our last episode about the fact that we've decided, we've done some thinking, and because we started out by calling our podcast Punk Farm Love Life, that really punk is the leading word for a reason, and that we've decided to focus on things, why things are punk and what is punk. And we came up with something we wrote, and so about this, and we mentioned it yesterday, and you read it off really well and said it, so I'm going to do it today to give
Perfect.
The listeners to an idea of what we're talking about. So what we mean by punk is that, as I said, Punk Farm Love Life is the name of our podcast, but what we really meant was punk farm, punk love, and punk life, punk everything that falls under the punk ethos of unity, DIY, individualism, strength, speaking out against injustice, community, compassion, equality, and peace. And so today, we're going to be talking about punk bicycles.
There we go.
How'd we do? Yeah. So now I'm back on track.
Eventually.
Yeah, I got it back on the rails. Because I love punk and I love bicycles, so of course I'm going to get it back on the rails.
Yeah, and I was just going to start off, Legs has got something to talk about. Today, the specific theme under the weekly theme of punk bicycles is handmade bikes. So Legs has a handmade bike company he's going to be talking about. And I wanted to share that there's another handmade bicycle festival gathering in Europe called Bespoke. And Bespoke is happening in both, I think, in the UK and in Germany this year. But we can look it up and we can talk more about it. But it says over the last 11 years, Bespoke has become Europe's largest and best attended celebration of handmade bicycles and their makers, attracting an excess of 6,000 visitors. It's a place for the public and the industry and the press to meet independent makers showcasing some of the finest bicycles in the world. So that sounds pretty cool. And it says it's run by an ex-frame builder, Peter George Galou, previously of Dear Susan Bicycles, and another fellow named Josh Bullock. So that sounds pretty cool. And then the other thing I found about punk and bikes is this Finnish bike company called Pasila, and they had a blog post called "Of Bikes and Punks," and I won't read all of it, but they wrote this little thing about their bike company, that a bike shop is like a punk band, and says bikes and punk rock have nothing in common, right? Yet that's what we're going to write about first. If you've checked out our About Us page, you maybe noticed that we decided to set up a bike company because we don't know how to play, so rock band was not an option. That's right. It really was not an option. Still, all of us shared the common interest for two things ever since we were teenagers: bikes and listening to punk rock. And they go on, and we'll put this link in the show notes, to write this blog post about how a bike shop is like writing a song. You come up with the creative idea for this right. frame and this design that you have in your mind, and then everybody kind of works together to make it happen. And it's a cool article, and they're
cool
from Finland. Pasila.
Pasila.
P-A-S-S-I-L-A.
And so as anyway, they say, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. I thought that was really cool in there, right? They say right there at the end. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. So that's really cool. I never thought about it, but probably when I was a teenager, punk and bicycles were in my brain. And so
the two main things in your brain, well, besides food,
because I was riding a bike. Yeah, really, that was about it, you know. So now it's all come full circle at this age that I get to talk about it with you. So
you found a handmade bike company that you wanted to talk about?
Yes, actually, in my research, and again, this is what's crazy for me, is I've been in cycling since 12 years old. And I thought, oh, I know everything. I know all these companies. And why I'm doing research for this and in different ways of thinking, especially with a punk viewpoint, I keep finding these companies. And so I stumble upon this company. It's called, go by various names. So it could be R plus E Cycles. It's also called Rodriguez and Erickson Cycles, or just Rodriguez Cycling. Part of it is that they're based in Seattle. They started business in 1973, so they've been around a really long time, and they've gone with the ups and downs of the cycling world. But everything about them is punk, as far as it's all DIY, coming up with their own ideas, their own values, having to change course frequently throughout their history because the industry kept changing on them. And they were able to roll with the punches and keep going. And they have a really great just idea about their shop, their manufacturing, and their it translates into their life. Hopefully, at some point, we can interview them. Angel Rodriguez is the main principal now. And there's a gentleman that is writing most of their website. And if you go to their website, it's very detailed. So I can't go into all that. I'll give you some main details. But their philosophy and how and everything they've done, and they got these really cool old photographs, black and whites, when they had big hair, and to now. And it's a combination of a bike shop and a manufacturing facility. So you can walk in, and you can buy their bike there. They repair bikes, but they also make the bikes there. And they've now evolved to the point where, after rethinking things, they make custom bikes one at a time. They decide, you know, you meet with them, you decide what you want, they make it for you there. The crazy thing is that their prices are, you can get a handmade bicycle for under $1,000 frame, not a full bike, which is crazy because most of the bikes nowadays, anybody knows anything about cycling, it's really very expensive. You can get a full bike there for $2,000 custom made. And again, it's all steel. And we've talked in other episodes, steel is real.
This might be the only episode that we're gonna edit if that's not correct. How could that be so?
What's that?
A custom bike for $2,000.
Well, there's a reason. Because there's a reason. So no, they've really thought about this.
Only
so,
I don't know much about it, but I do. I have looked into it before, so, and I thought like you'd be talking like $4,000 or $5,000.
Exactly. That's why I was shocked. So you look at the, you read about them and how they've evolved and everything that's happened to them, mm-hmm. and they've had to quickly turn things around and reevaluate things. But they say in their website, everything is custom, but at a price of a manufactured bike made in most cases outside the U.S.
Huh.
That they pay attention to their expenses, investing in good people has resulted in the ability to sell custom bicycle frames for almost half the price of the competition, all made in the U.S. So their frames are all made in the U.S. And so anybody that goes and looks at their bikes and thinks that they've bought something made in the U.S. or made in Italy.
Are they making the frames too?
Yes, that's okay. Their whole job. So okay. In that facility in Seattle, they are a bike shop.
Building the frames.
And they're making the frames.
Gotcha.
And so they're cutting the tubes. They're welding it. The welders are there. Everything is there. They build one bike at a time. Don't waste money on expensive automated machinery. Don't waste money on a huge facility. Hire creative, competent people and keep them for decades.
Nice.
So it's not the norm. And they're different. And that's what I loved about them. And that's why they're so punk. Besides the fact that everything's DIY and they think on their feet and they're reevaluating the cycling industry, there's activism involved. So Angel Rodriguez was the first person that led the effort in Seattle to get the first street bike parking area.
Wow.
Like I said, everything's made in America, all American steel, and their bikes are ridiculously light. So everybody out there probably thinking, oh, carbon fiber is the lightest or titanium. These guys are producing steel bikes that will last a long time as long as you take care of them. And they're really light.
Well, let's just say, wait, weenie. That.
I'm not a wait, weenie. This is what they're saying.
And okay, but it's all relative. And it seems as though it's all relative. So they're saying how they're different, which is awesome. But generally speaking, if you're choosing this option of handmade and steel bike, I mean, I wouldn't say weight's your top concern, or would you disagree with that?
It is a concern. So people that are going to, one of the first things they're thinking about and coming to them, and they actually have examples in there of customers that come in initially saying, I want a light bike. Now, by the way, I'm not a weight weenie, and I've always found it really interesting that people will come in and say, I want a really light bike, but they're 50 pounds overweight. So I'm saying is, you know,
easy,
like...
Easy, careful.
No, so the thing is
that...
That's
funny, though.
It all
you want a lighter bike?
Yeah.
Here you go. How about a plant-based diet?
There you go. So that, you know, sort of leading into that. So, So go ride your bike, lose the weight, but it's not, you know, there's some safety factors as well. That's why I have found in the history of my riding since 12 years old, that steel lasts the longest. It's the most comfortable bike. As far as riding for hours on a bike, steel is the most comfortable. These people that have thought this out, they're choosing Reynolds tubing, which is industry known as far as being the way they design the tubes and allows for a light bicycle. Again, it's the manufacturers and it's the artisans at Rodriguez Cycles that are putting these in jigs, welding them up and making them these beautiful pieces of art. And they are art. If you see their bikes, they're beautiful. They have opinions that differ, like as far as wheel size, frame size, how you should be fitting. They were one of the leaders early on of bike fit and how you should be fit on a bike. So when you go get a custom bike, go in there and order, they're going to measure you all for this, you know, really incredible price. That's why I want to interview them to find out how they're doing it. It's one thing to read about it, and I've experienced it throughout the years, but these people are thinking outside the box. They were voted, so this is not a fly-by-night company. In the 80s, late 80s, they were voted, and I'm going to give this correctly, so I don't give out misinformation, that by the end of 1980, they were voted the best bike shop in the country by the readers of Bicycling Magazine. And the 80s were a boom for cycling. The 90s weren't, but they rolled with it. And, it's traditional, and again, this is punk. A corporate entity bought them. They were not from the cycling industry. The company 3 years later filed bankruptcy. Guess what? Angel Rodriguez had the money to go buy the company back, put the people that had quit.
Wow,
he
nice.
Put them back in.
That's punk.
And then they evolved and looked at why did it fail? Because the 90s were brutal for all of cycling. And they were able to roll with the punches, keep it going, and they're still there today.
That's
you
great.
Know, so.
Well, this just came to me. We haven't had any interviews yet. We plan to have some interviews, and one of the types of interviews we'll be doing is these handmade bikes. So if you, hopefully they'll listen to this episode. If you were to ask them some questions, what are a couple questions that come to mind? And I'll think of at least one, maybe more. What would you like to ask them?
Actually, what I initially would ask them is, because of the cycling industry where it stands right now and the changes that occurred with big corporations and the price of cycling, what do they see the future for cycling? Where do they see the future for cycling as a whole and also for themselves? And what are they planning on doing in the future, in the near future and, you know, a decade later? Because cycling has been around for a very long time. In fact, they, you know, the Wright, I remember this because this is very important to me. The Wright brothers originally were a bicycle manufacturing company.
That's cool.
And the reason I remember this is, besides that, the relationship with cycling, their first flight took place on my birthday, December 17th. So I always remember that. So as a kid, I read this, I go, oh my God.
Well, that might be a whole episode on the Wright brothers.
Right, so, but Rodriguez Cycles, you know, R&E Cycles, they mentioned the Wright brothers and their ingenuity and how they were doing things outside the box. So I would like to know what they see happening in the cycling industry right now and in the future, and then what they plan on doing. What would
That's
you ask?
That's great. Yeah, I would like to know, you know, their origin story, as they say, like how they got started, you know, a little deeper than the website. And it seems as though some people get started as an intern with someone else, right? They're working the shop. Like one of the people we're going to talk about and hopefully interview as well is Curtis Inglis. And he started in Chico for RetroTech, which was another bike builder's company. And then he continued it. The other question I have is whether they think, you know, if we're trying to kind of get back to our community and be able to live in community in a smaller area and not ship so many things everywhere, you know, do they think there's room for a couple of, it seems so, because it seems like in every town there's a couple of bike shops, but like if you were young and getting into thinking of what you wanted to do, like is there room for young people to get into bikes? And I'd be interested in their opinion on that. And hopefully the answer is yes, thinking that if we have more and more people riding bikes, that the industry will grow. And if people look for something that is well made and custom and beautiful and just like you'd pay more money for this thing you're gonna have for a long time that's so personal to you.
I think that it should be so if you're a young person and you want to be, let's say, a machinist, mm-hmm. male or female, and you know you like welding and you like, you know, measuring and cutting tubes and or cutting, making things work together. Instead of going, it would be really nice that the cycling industry had room for them to say, hey, yeah, I want to work in the custom frame building arena, and how could I fit in and make that a career? Be able to someday get married, have kids, and buy a house if that's what your dream is. And as opposed to making the, you know, big things that, you know, we're trying to promote, you know, not buying a whole lot of stuff and trying to treasure the few I call them golden nuggets, the really nice, well thought out, beautiful things that people create. And hopefully there's a place for them where they could make a good living. You know, when I say good living, you know what I just said, and be really happy and live the slow life.
I think that when I was reading about the Bespoked festival or whatever show, I guess it would be, they had some type of scholarship for, you know, new right. bike people. So that's
And we're going to cool. talk to the same type of people going when we go up and see the handmade bicycle show up in Oregon, because there's going to be people there. And I think whatever questions we would ask, you know, R&E Cycles would be the same ones we would ask them mm-hmm. if you know, we're lucky enough to interview them and they're willing to talk to us.
Yeah, them. And I think we could ask what they know of punk and how do they think, you know, yeah. Do
well, actually, think I was thinking punk? That was, actually, when you were at, when I was thinking about what question, one of the questions would be, so it depends who I would talk to, but I'm sure it'd be one of the principals. Would you ever, do you consider yourself punk? and hear what their answer is. You know, I'd be really interested to find out what people think about that word and what they think they are. Because like we've talked about, some people don't realize they're punk, but they have been living a punk life. And it'd be interesting to hear what their response is.
The individualism and,
exactly.
and all of the DIY and all those aspects. Great. Good job.
Thank you.
I loved hearing about them, and I'll read more about them, and we'll put their website in the show notes. And anything else?
No. I suggest you go read their story, because it's really in-depth. They took some time, more than I've seen most places, so they got quite a story to tell.
It gives you faith in everything. You know, I love hearing about those small companies and people doing it, and... yeah, bringing beautiful bicycles to the planet.
Bringing beauty to the universe.
Yep. Punk farm.
Love life.
Do stuff, don't buy stuff.
Peace, punk, plants.
See you later.
Bye, everyone. Hi, listeners. This episode, we spoke about Rodriguez Cycles. And I just want to mention that the owner of Rodriguez Cycles is named Dan Taub. He's actually owned Rodriguez Cycles for longer than anyone, including Angel Rodriguez. And he is the one that does most things there and has written everything in the website. So we suggest you go check out their story and listen to the episode that we discussed everything having to do with them. And we'd be looking forward to hearing your comments. Thank you.
Mind and body weary to the bone. Could use a woman.
Thank you for listening to the Legs and Lizzie Punk Farm Love Life podcast. Please subscribe to get notified of new episodes. We'd love to have you as part of the Legs and Lizzie family. It really helps us if you also leave a review.
You can support the podcast by becoming a Legs and Lizzie patron at patreon.com. Just search Legs and Lizzie. You can become a member for as little as $5 a month. Podcast music is by Lizzie's brother, who goes by Squint Todd and the Horse Thieves. See the show notes for links to other things we mentioned.
Be safe and happy until next time.
Do stuff, make stuff, don't buy stuff.
Peace, punk, plants.
We don't need much, we just need each other.
Old black dog just tags along and listens while he sings his song. Love is all she knows. So on and on they go. Oh, strangers cry. To the heavens. friend alone. On the widest train he's riding, so damn few of all. There's Jensen Weed and Tom Weed. Join the party, join the crowd. Let the hyena circling laugh out loud and away. Lord knows he had his day. For strangers cry. This old world, she goes round and round. Damn little good within it, he has found. She's a sad, sad song. The joke goes on and on. From the dust, dust he returns. Happen, let them fires burn, just drift away, 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 away. Those strangers cry.